today we speak about introduction to gospel apocrypha or neutral canonical books. And before I start, I'd like to read a verse from the letter of St. Paul to Timothy, the second letter of St. Paul to his disciple Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16. He told him, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And apparently, in this verse, St. Paul was referring to the scripture of the Old Testament, because the New Testament scripture at that moment wasn't yet collected and wasn't yet canonized. So when he says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, he's speaking about the scripture of the Old Testament. And when he says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, this means all the scriptures, all the book that were acknowledged by the Christian in the first century have a testimony from the New Testament itself that all of them are an inspiration of God. Meaning, if during the time that St. Paul wrote this letter, the acknowledgement, all the books of the Old Testament, including what's called the deuterocanonical books, this means St. Paul himself testifies for the deuterocanonical books as inspiration. Do you understand this point? يعني بالنسبة للرسول في الرسالة دي بيقول كل الكتاب موحى به من الله. يقصد هنا بقى الكل يقصد بها ايه؟ العهد القديم اللي كان لسه عهد الجديد لسه لم يقرن بعد لم يقرن. فعايزين ندرس مع بعض ونشوف وقت ما بولس الرسول كتب هذه الرسالة كان ايه اللي عند المسيحيين في القرن الاول معروف على انه كتب قانونية، وان كان من ضمن الكتب القانونية دي الاسفار المحذوفة، اذا يبقى فعلا الاسفار دي اسفار قانونية وبولس الرسول نفسه شهد لها. لو كان وقتها المسيحيين ما بيستخدموش الكتب دي يبقى اذا دي اسفار فعلا غير قانونية. So, if we could prove that these books, the deuterocanonical books, were considered as part of the scripture at the time in which St. Paul wrote this letter, this means these books have a testimony from the New Testament itself or from St. Paul. And apparently, these books were well known for the Christian. Why? Because St. Paul said to Timothy, and then from a child thou hast known the whole scripture. From your childhood you did know the whole scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So it's implicit in this verse that the books that's considered canonical were well known to the Christian, and that's why he told him, from your childhood you know the whole scriptures. and that from a child that has known the Holy Scripture. واخدين بالكم معايا الكلام ده؟ تمام؟ معلش هي هو الموضوع بتاع النهارده you know the lecture tonight is dry because you know like a research so يعني لو حد ما فهمش حاجه يقول فهمني. قبل ما ابتدي I'd like to explain the meaning of the word Bukita or the word Deuterocanonical. Apocrypha, the first person who used this term was Saint Jerome. Saint Jerome. And the word Apocrypha means hidden away. ليه ترجمة بالضبط المحذوف؟ يعني hidden away. حذف الطرف. This means the word Apocrypha. And Saint Jerome used it referring to some books that he himself didn't consider canonical. And Saint Jerome considers these books as false books, not his books. And of course, Saint Jerome has a different list of the canonical books. That's the list that the whole church approved and used. Saint Jerome is the person who made the translation that's called the Vulgata. The Vulgata is the first translation of the whole scripture to the Latin and was made for the West. Because the East was speaking Greek and the West speaks Latin, and that's why he translated the whole scripture for the West, and this translation was called Vulgata. And actually, this translation is the base for the Catholic Holy Bible. يعني هما بيعتبروا الترجمة القديس جيروم هي دي أساس الكتاب المقدس في الكنيسة الكاثوليكية. يبقى معنى كلمة أبوكريفا معناها محذوفة وهذا الأول. Or the second word deuterocanonical. Deutero means second and canonical قانونية. So deuterocanonical means the second canonical books. And when they say second, they don't mean it is lower in its importance or significance than the other canonical books, but just to differentiate these books from other books, so they got second. And that's why sometimes in our church we use the word deuterocanonical book, الأسفار القانونية الثانية, وإن كان يعني many people don't recommend to use the deuterocanonical book because maybe some lay people understand this as second in its importance. But of course not, because if we consider things canonical, they will be at the same level of importance as the other canonical books. What is the story behind these canonical books, and why there is conflict about its canonicity, whether they are canonical or non-canonical? To give you a little historical background about it, there was many versions of the Old Testament that's used in Jerusalem. And I mean many versions, I mean many collections. For example, the Hebrew-speaking Jews the Jews that are speaking Hebrew in Palestine are generally known to use 24 books, known as Palestinian canon. And although even the canonical books So even in the Old Testament, the Palestinian canon, they just acknowledge 24 books, which divide in three divisions. The law, known as the five books of Moses, the prophets, and just accept in the prophets four former, which we call now measure, and four later prophets, which we call minor. So they just acknowledge eight prophets. And writings, the other books, they call writings, and they just acknowledge 11 books. So they acknowledge 24 books only. And some tribes or some sects among Jews didn't acknowledge all the books. For example, the Sadducees, the Sadduqiyin. What is the main heresy of the Sadducees? Yeah, they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. The Sadduqiyin of Rashbi, when it comes to Amalek. عشان كده, they didn't accept death as a canonical book. Why? Because there is a prophecy in Daniel, or a verse in Daniel, supports the resurrection of the dead, which they deny. And this verse in Daniel 12, verse 2. When that time comes, your own people will be spared, all those whose names are found written in the book. Of those who lie sleeping in the dust of the earth, many will awake. Of those who lie sleeping in the dust of the earth, where do you mean? The dead. Those who lie sleeping in the dust of the earth, many will awake. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting disgrace. The Sadducees didn't believe in this book, because in Daniel 12, verse 2, there is a verse about the resurrection of the dead. And that's why they disregarded the book of Daniel. The point that I'm trying to emphasize here, and there wasn't a consensus among Jews about the canonical books. There was not a consensus among the Jews regarding the canonical books. And as the encyclopedia of the Jews says, Encyclopedia of Judaism, page 117. Encyclopedia of Judaism, page 117 says that the limit of the third part writing on the local in the Palestinian canon can feed Talata division. Ilhoma Illo, the five books of Moses, prophets, or prophets on four former and four later, and writing. We're writing there can were including 11 books. The limit of the third part in our writing there, how many books include, was not finalized until mid of the second century. Yet regarding the Jews, they didn't canonize until the second, the middle second century, what are the canonical books that are in this third part? اللي هم ايه الرايترز؟ اشتباهكم؟ So, if the Christian accepted books in the first century, and then in the second century, the Jews denied it, these shouldn't affect us. If St. Paul testified for the books in the first century, they are canonical, and then in the middle of the second century, some Jews denied these books, these shouldn't affect us. You will find Kalander Allah. يعني حسب الانسايكلوبيديا بتاع اليهود بيقولوا ان لغاية نص القرن الثاني ما كانش فيه اجماع على ايه الاثار القرنية بتاعة العهد القديم. فكان لغاية نص القرن الثاني هم لسه ما قالوش ايه الاثار القرنية بتاعتهم، وكان فيه اختلاف على الاثار دي. وكان القديس بولس في القرن الاول شهد للاثار دي. إذا لو حتى اليهود بعد كده قالوا احنا مش رايحين سفر التكوين، مش رايحين سفر الخلود، ده مش مفروض ان يخلينا احنا ايه نهتز في الحته دي الايمانيه. معاك؟ ايه اللي حصل بعد كده؟ اللي حصل during the century before our Lord Jesus Christ, third century before Christianity, the Greek, the successors of Alexander the Great, they wanted to spread the Greek language and the Greek civilization. But then, لما قوم العرب and after they invaded Egypt, for example, they started to spread their language. In the same way, the Greek wanted to spread their language. And that's why in the 3rd century before Christ, Ptolemaeus, who was a ruler in Alexandria in Egypt, ordered 70 persons from the Jews to translate the Old Testament from Hebrew to Greek, to Greek language. And actually, this was the first translation for the Old Testament from the Greek, Hebrew to Greek. And this translation kept fame in Egypt. And this translation is now known by the Septuagint. And Septuagint means 70. So it derives its name from the number of people who translated this translation from Hebrew to Greek. That's Septuagint. And Septuagint started to spread among the Jews that were in Egypt at that time, and also started to spread among the Jews that they lived in Palestine. And as we see, during the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, all the quotations from the Old Testament were taken from the Septuagint, not from the Hebrew. And the Septuagint includes all these apocrypha, all deuterocanonical books. Let me give you some examples that our Lord Jesus Christ or the writers of the New Testament used the Septuagint and didn't use the Hebrew version of the Old Testament. For example, in the letter of St. Paul to Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 5, in this day, mini Arama, Hebrews 10, verse 5, to Lee.
Before, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering we did not desire, but the value you have prepared for me.
Okay, sacrifice and offering the world is not desire, but a body has now prepared for you. This verse, St. Paul is quoting from Psalm 40. If you read Psalm 40, verse 6, you will find it read different. There, again, 40, verse 6.
Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears were open. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require.
Okay, so that my ears has now opened. Here, we talk about a body that has prepared. You see the difference here? In Hebrews 10:5, we all, but a body that has prepared me. In Psalm 46, it reads, my ears have opened. The scholars of the Bible said that St. Paul quoted this from the Greek, and that's how it reads in the Septuagint. If you have a Septuagint version of the Old Testament, and you read Psalm 40, verse 6, you'll find a body that has prepared for you. معناه ان the writers of or the authors of the New Testament in their tradition they refer to the Septuagint version, not the Palestine version. لان هما they believe in Septuagint version is more accurate. But why we have now this? Because the Bible that we have in our hands is translated from the Palestine version. It's a lot of Old Testament. There are quite a couple of people about the Old Testament. Like in the New Testament, Matush Roshel. Have you ever had a name on the... Okay. I think we said that.
And was St. Paul Catholic not in the second century?
لا لا الاستوشن ده القرن الثالث قبل المسيح يعني 300 سنة قبل ما جه سيدنا المسيح
يعني جاية translation من الفلسطين من ذلك second one is actually more accurate and that's the original. Let's not confuse why would St. Paul wrote that translation part and we're saying we want to follow that part of how it's a translation of the original.
See two theories here to answer your question. The first theory in some words has more than one meaning. And that's why the Septuagint in its translation so they understood, because we believe that Septuagint translation is inspired and God protected those who translate it. Look, I think the famous story of Simon the Elder. So this means And when they translated the Septuagint, they had the intention of God for the meaning of the words. They had the active intention of God for the meaning of the words. لأن ممكن يكون كلمة واحدة ليها أكثر من معنى. السكند ثيوري بيقولوا إن ممكن يكون حصل يعني علشان الكريستيانيتي you know so some changes في الـ Jewish version of the Old Testament to antagonize the Christian beliefs. For example, لما يقول له a body that has prepared for me. This means it is a prophecy about the incarnation of God. And if the Jewish refuse the idea of the incarnation of God, so they may change it, or you know, and they, you know, you opened my ear instead of saying, you know, God incarnate, you give me a body. And check it out. They refer to the Septuagint because it's more accurate.
Isn't this translation also, this version is a translation of the Aramaic? In the Athenian version, or the later version. It was not the original language that was written in Hebrew language?
Maybe, I didn't search this point, but this may be true. Maybe the Palestinian version is also a translation from the original, maybe, but I didn't search it. You may be there. فديك وقت حتى تاني بين لوجو فديك وقت ايتين تين فما لوجو الفرق ما بين ال يعني ها the authors of the New Testament refer to the situation not to the Palestine camp. Okay. In Hebrews 11:21. Hebrew 11:21. About Jacob. أي حد يقرأ؟ leaning upon the top of his staff. And actually, St. Paul was referring to what was written in Genesis 47:30. I'm telling you, Genesis 47, verse 31, during how Jacob bowed himself upon what? The head of the bed. See the difference here? St. Paul said, worshipping or bowing on the head of his staff. But in Genesis, it's written, bowing on the head of the head. And again, the difference, because St. Paul was quoting Septuagint, but the Old Testament in our hands, it's from the Palestinian camp. A third example, وده برضو يبين لنا إن ممكن يكون ال Palestinian canon حصل فيه تحريف شوي. كلكم عارفين الآية المشهورة اللي هي Matthew quoted from Isaiah, a virgin shall be with a child and bring forth a son, a virgin. Actually, in our, I think it's written here in the King James Version, part of a version. Like in the Revised Standard Version, read Isaiah 7:14.
Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, behold a young woman shall conceive.
See the difference? Behold what? A young woman, not a virgin. And the young woman is the actual is the literal translation from the Palestinian camp. And a version that's from the Syrian. And apparently, they did some changes in the Palestinian camp just to fit the Jewish belief. And that's why the Rabbis sent the version, they translated from the Palestinian camp, and that's why it's written here a young woman, not a virgin. Different source, the exactly. So this needs another research. Like what I'm trying to prove right now, and all the authors of the New Testament, either St. Matthew or St. Paul, they were quoting the Septuagint, not the Palestinian version. So when St. Paul asked, all the scripture is the inspiration of God, this means what? He's referring to the Septuagint. Maya? نرجع بقى للسؤال المهم. The church accepted the Septuagint until the 16th century. Until the Reformation, or I don't know if the word Reformation is right. Anyway, until this movement that they call it the Reformation started. And they didn't accept these books as a canonical books. And here we are speaking about, you know, seven books of the Old Testament. Why they didn't accept, what is the main reason, and what is the argument of the Protestants why they didn't accept these books as canonical books? The main reason Protestants reject the deuterocanonical book is to support their own teaching. And I'll give you an example. The Protestants don't believe in praying for the dead. They don't believe in praying for the dead. And actually, the Catholic Church, when they pray for the dead, they pray for a wrong reason. Because the Catholic Church believes in purgatory. So when they pray for the dead, they pray for those souls that are in purgatory, so God has mercy upon them and comfort their souls in the purgatory. I think purgatory is a mother. If you have a علشان ربنا يعني يخفف العذاب عنهم شويه. ومن هنا بعض بدع دخلت الكنيسه الارثوذكسيه عندنا واحنا مش واخدين بالنا منها. بس نشكر ربنا ان هي دلوقتي اتصلحت. فور اكزامبل. ايه ده؟ يا. وان اوف ذا وي مش عارف اسمها. وان اوف ذا فولس بليفز ذات ديورينج ذا فيست And during the 50 days after the glorious feast of resurrection, a dead God gives, you know, tranquility to those who are in purgatory. You know? Break. Give them break. And that's why some people. They say we shouldn't pray for the departed during these 50 days or during the feast. فتلاقوا مصر يعني كثير في الصلاة العشية في الأعياد خمسين they replace the litany of the apostles by the litany of the saints. And the theology behind it, because there they are not tortured in purgatory. But at that, it is the Catholic influence on the Orthodox Church. And some people just do it without understanding the reason why. Until this was, you know, fixed by, you know, educating the people that now we should pray the litany of the departed for the holy. But I have a study to read in the أي من عادس الزيا في العشية نصلي الشتاء القديم صلى طول السنة في الخمسين صلى الشتاء القديم another word معرفش يوم on the day of Pentecost there is the prayer of prostration اللي هي صلاة السجنة بعض الناس كانوا يسموها صلاة السجنة in prison because now these 50 days of prayer are over and God will imprison them again in the purgatory. And that's why, you know, I saw this vision. People come to the church wearing black, crying, you know, for the dead because now they will be imprisoned again. So that's the segment. That's the segment. Worship. So, why to pray for the dead? That's like a big subject, like just to read, shall we pray even for Saint Mary, the commemoration of the saints, and all graciously afford the Lord to remember all the saints who have pleased you since the beginning. Most of all, the pure, full of glory, ever virgin, holy Theotokos, Saint Mary, who in truth give birth to the locusts. So it's just to are praying for those in purgatory, or you are praying to Saint Mary. So in the Orthodox Church, we don't pray for the dead because we ask God to have mercy on those in purgatory, because we don't believe in purgatory in the Orthodox Church. But prayer is a sign of fellowship between the triumphant church and the struggling church. So there is a fellowship between the two churches. They are praying for us, and we are praying for them. Prayer is not only for the forgiveness of sin. Prayer is to grow in the knowledge of God. So we are praying for them to grow, because in eternity there is growth in the knowledge of God. As our Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 17, and this is the eternal life, they know you. So the eternal life is the knowledge of God. And they pray for us. Anyway, that's not our subject tonight. So, the Catholic, the Protestant, in rejection to the Catholic creed about praying for the dead, so they rejected the deuterocanonical books, because in 2 Maccabean chapter 12, from verse 45 to verse 46, there is a clear verse about prayer for the departed. فلو حد عايز شاهد من الكتاب even in for if he had not expected the fallen to rise again, it would have been superfluous and foolish to pray for the dead. يعني هنا بيقول if it was expected that the departed will not rise again, then it is foolish to pray for the dead. Whereas if he had in view the splendid recompense reserved for those who make a pious end and thought was holy and devout, this was why he had this atonement sacrifice offered for the dead, so that they might be released from their sin. I think here there is a very strong verse and strong evidence for the prayer of the dead. And because of this verse, the Protestant didn't accept the Book of Maccabees. Another claim the Protestant says, and the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, never quoted from these different canonical books. I will not argue this claim. I assume this is right. The Lord never quoted from the Gettysburg canonical books. But on the other hand, the Lord never quoted also from Song of Songs or Esther or Ecclesiastes. So does this make these books not canonical? Of course not. As a matter of fact, indirectly there are quotations in the New Testament from some different canonical books, and I'll give you some verses. For example, Romans 1:18-32. Romans 1:18-32. How do you write that?
But the rest of God will reveal from heaven and then all the godliness and unrighteousness of men, so press the truth in unrighteousness. Because what might be known of God is manifest in them. God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world is a political act of evil stuff, by clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even with eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. But although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made by corruptible man, and birds, and cold-blooded animals, and human things. Therefore, God also gave them up to transgress the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Who changed the truth of God to the mind, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even when women exchange the natural use of what is against nature, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn them with lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error for which they sin. And even they did not like to obey God's knowledge, God gave them over. They gave mind to do those things which are not things,
Okay. All these verses are about the idol worshippers and how God dealt with them. And exactly, St. Paul is quoting what was written in the Book of Wisdom from chapter 12 to chapter 14. But I should not tell this part for the last time, so we will not read them. But maybe when you go home, just read Wisdom from chapter 12 to chapter 14 and see how St. Paul actually literally quoted some verses from this. In Romans chapter 2 from verse 1 to 11, that's exactly what's written in the Book of Wisdom chapter 11 and chapter 15 about Israel. So again, here St. Paul is quoting what's written in the Book of Wisdom. What's written, St. Paul in Hebrews 11 from verse 35 to 38, Hebrews 11 from 35 to 38, this is a quotation for 2 Maccabees, verse 6, in chapter 6, from verse 15 to chapter 7, verse 14:1. So, in fact, in the New Testament, there are quotations from the Old Testament. Another argument that Protestant uses to reject this quoted in these books, the Old Way. The Lord said in Luke chapter 11, verse 50 and 51, therefore this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. And the Protestants say how they interpret this verse, the Ur. Abel is mentioned in Genesis 4, verse 8. And Zechariah is mentioned in 2 Chronicles 24, chapter 24, from verse 20 to verse 22. So, those two being the first and last books according to the Palestine canon means that the Lord acknowledged the Palestine canon on and not the security. يعني بيقولوا إن السيد المسيح لما قال عليك كل دم زكي من دم هابيل الصديق اللي دام زكريا لسه قدرتموه بين هيكل المذبح. فقال هابيل ده في سفر التكوين وزكريا ده هو المقصود او هو المذكور في اخبار الايام الثامنه صفحه 24 من عدد 20-22. وقالوا هو ده الكتاب الاول والاخير حسب الفيرجن اليهوديه. فاذا يبقى ربنا يعني acknowledge the Palestinian canon and not the situation. But is it true? طبعا if you go to Matthew 23 verse 35, the Lord says Zechariah the son of Barach. يعني في انجيل لوقا زكريا بس في انجيل متى قال Zechariah the son of Barach. لما تيجي تشوف في انسجن Chronicles 24, 20 to verse 22, يقول لك إن زكريا ده son of مين؟ جيهودار. Second Chronicles chapter 24 from verse 20 to verse 22. Jehuda. So apparently, and we are speaking about two different Zechariahs here, and the most acceptable explanation for this verse, I think, means the creator. Mean? Yeah, the creator of Yohanan Ramadan, when you know Herod started to kill the infants, 3 years and young. younger. So Zechariah said, I received my son from the altar. So he took him and put him on the altar. And while he is leaving the altar, the soldier killed him. So the Lord was referring to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, not Zechariah in the second. So the Hebrew said in the second Malik, Alek Kulidan, if a family from Abel, the first person who was martyred, to Zechariah, who was in 47 BC. هو اللي كان اخر كتاب هو ده اخبار الامم الثانيه ده كان الشكريه او حتى ما عمل الان في بعض المحاسبات خلينا نشوف في 15 evidence that these books are canonical. بس احنا كده فصلنا ممكن بقى لما صورت والحين دول تختون من هنا ما
ممكن ليه ما في ليه ما فيش حاجة كده بتاعتهم أو مثلا لو حط دلوقتي كتب حاجة ليه مش هتكتب ما تبقاش تكتب حاجة؟
لا طبعا لأن الكتاب المقدس the whole scripture is considered the breath of God considered also infallible teaching and have authority over us. Not any book reaches to this level. Even Masran, yes, Masran, the writing of the early church fathers, they are sacred and they accept them, but they may be fallible. I mean, it is not 100% infallible.
And the second St. Paul on the new teaching.
Okay. We believe that these books are the inspiration of God, as St. Paul says. So in this inspiration, God protected them, God protected the writers from doing any mistakes. The Holy Spirit guided them. And there are two verses, the verse that I read to you from 2 Timothy, all scripture is good for reproof. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for righteousness. And the second verse in here, Peter, لما بيقول إيه, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So it is absolutely the inspiration of God. And this was no more in the church. Now we have, yes, writings, but these writings can be considered fallible. And this one difference between the Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church has many writings that not only the Bible, that consider infallible. For example, the teaching of the Pope, they consider all his teachings are infallible. لكن انت طبعا بتقول ان الضابط عاشقين مثلا زي في اختلافات، يعني مثلا بقول حصل مثلا اختلاف ما بين القديس فلان والقديس فلان في تفسير الايه دي، وفلان رد على فلان وده بعت وحصل بينهم نقاش، فده معناه هم مش معصومين من الخطا في تفسيرهم حتى. وبعض الناس احنا يعني زي مثلا اوريجين اند تيرتيليان وي كونسيدر ذيم از جريت سكولرز but not same because the interpretation of the Holy Bible had many fallible, you know, teachers. But, so the inspiration of the Holy Scripture ended by the time of the apostles. بعد كده في ممكن كتابات الكتاب المقدسة ولكن لا ترتفع إلى مستوى الكتاب المقدس. The only book that have that has authority over us is the Holy Bible. Any other book, when we read it, we have to read it and to examine it. And to accept what's written or not to accept according, does it match with the Holy Bible or not?
What's missing? Including other really apocryphal books, long books. So which one we should do?
Look at all the canonical books known as deuterocanonical. Actually, there is no, yeah. Maybe all the deuterocanonical, but اللي احنا بنخاف منه ان الناس تفهم deuterocanonical, they are second in importance.
The canonical books are more
like that.
The canonical books are more like that.
ممكن
ده ممكن فعلا الأبوكريفة ميزين يعني
أول شيء believes in the canon, the protocol, this is canon.
Now, the second question is
the number of the
Bible, or the
other? Now, the new versions of the Bible add the different canonical books. Like, I saw Revised Standard Version, the same canonical with Apocrypha. So I have the Revised Standard Version with Apocrypha. Here, I have the third millennium Holy Bible. وده عبارة عن كينج جيمس، ذا أوثورايزد كينج جيمس، اللي هو الأول كينج جيمس، وذا أبوكريفا. So now they start even in Arabic versions. طلعوا نسخة عربية فيها القوانين الأسفار القانونية الثالثة. لا لا لا، بركة المقدس. بركة المقدس. أنا عندي كتابة. هو له قصة. القصة دي هحكيها لكم بناء على رواية أبونا جوارديوس أعطانا اللي هو موجود في ويست أندلس. كان دار الكتاب المقدس عايزين ينزلوا طبعة ثانية أو ترجمة ثانية للكتاب المقدس بالعربي. ترجمة سهلة يعني. فعملوا لجنة لأن أحيانا الترجمة العربية بتاعتها دي فيها كلمات قديمة وأحيانا تبقى صعبة الفهم. فكانوا عايزين يحطوا ترجمة ثانية تبقى دقيقة ولكن الترجمة دي تبقى يعني يستخدموا كلمات معروفة بالنسبة لنا وسهلة يعني. فعملت لجنة فيها ناس أرثوذكس وناس كاثوليك وناس بروتستانت عشان يراجعوا الترجمة دي. وكان من الكنيسة عندنا كان أبونا جوارديوس من الكنيسة الأرثوذكسية فهو بيحكي لي القصة دي. فأبونا جوارديوس بيقول إن الترجمة اللي نزلوها الكتاب المقدس كان في حاجات كتير هو مش موافق عليها. من يعني غير من ناحية القطع يعني حاجات مش دقيقة. فراحوا يعني لسيدنا البابا علشان يعني حصل يعني اختلاف لا ده صح ده غلط كده. فراح لسيدنا البابا. فسيدنا البابا اقترح عليهم قال لهم يعني الترجمة اللي عندنا دي الناس كلها حفظت وانتوا لما تحطوا ترجمة ثانية الناس خلاص مش هتاخد عليها يعني خلاص الناس حفظتها وحفظت الآيات بالطريقة دي. فلما بتنزلوا آيات زي المشكلة اللي عندنا النهارده في الإنجليزي هنحفظ الولاد الآيات حسب الأولد كينج جيمز ولا النيو كينج جيمز ولا الريفايزد ستاندرد فيرجن ولا النيو انترناشونال فيرجن ولا النيو امريكان فيرجن حاجة تفضل يعني لما يكون في كذا فيرجن فكان الراح مش عايز يحفظ الباب الايات حسب القبله، لكن احنا كلنا نصح باسم الكتاب المقدس حسب وحتى طبعا لو في حاجات يعني ترجمات مش دقيقه عارفين ان الحته دي مش دقيقه وخلاص كده يعني ان الشيوخ عليهم ديت هم خطوه بدل النصوص الى اخره. فتبقى لهم يعني انا نصيحتي ان انتوا عايزين تنزلوا كتاب مقدس يعني الاخبار والكاثوليك والبروتستانت نزل كتاب مقدس حط فيه الاسفار المحفوظه. فخلص محمد سيد الباول دول خلاص احنا موافقين وننزل الاسفار القانونيه الثانيه في الكتاب المقدس. وراح فهم ما بين كتاب مقدس حط في الاسفار القانونيه الثانيه حط الترجمه الجديده هم فعش كده ابونا جرجوس يعني كان بينبه بيقول ان الترجمه دي فيها اخطاء برضه مش دقيقه. ليه موجوده؟ الفيرجن دي موجوده وانا عارفه مش كتاب طبعا كنائس بتتباع في مكتبات الانترنت. الحقيقه انا ما اعرفش بالظبط شو المكان اللي مش دقيق مش كده بقول لكم انا بحكي لكم الروايه دي حسب ابونا جرجوس حكيها لي لكن انا ما عرفتهاش كلها وما اعرفش ايه الحاجات المش دقيقه فيها. لكن لما بقوله ان في فيرجن نزلت بالعربي محطوط فيها الاسفار وكان الدكتور مراد كامل نزل الاسفار المحظوظه دي في كتاب لوحدها كانت طبعت في مكتبه المحطه زمان كان مكتوب عليه الاسفار القانونيه الثانيه. هو عمل بحث مقدمه جميل قوي مقدمه الاسفار القانونيه الثانيه بيثبت فيها قانونيتها وكده من